Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started a long time ago talking about how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. We've already covered the first two things there about how to find God's will and then how to follow God's will. And I tell you, this has been some very, very important things that I've been sharing. These are the truths that the Lord used to really motivate me and get me moving in His direction. Was I had a desire to know His will for my life. And boy, that's what led to this miraculous encounter that I had with the Lord. But then finding God's will for your life is just a portion of the equation. You also have to learn how to follow God's will. I have seen many people that have found God's will for their life, but then they didn't wait on God's direction. They tried to do things in their own strength and in their own power. And I believe that just as many or possibly even more people have missed God's total plan for their life because they got a word from God and then make a paragraph out of it and they just ran ahead of God. You know, there's a scripture here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, and it says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Boy, that verse is pregnant with a lot of things. You know, I haven't got time to go through all of this, but let me just say that many people start their course, but they don't ever finish their course. And, you know, this is, I think, in some ways more tragic than a person who never even stumbled upon God's will and just lived a mediocre life. For a person to have God reveal His will to them, but then you don't finish your course, that's tragic. And again, I think that this probably happens more often than not. As a matter of fact, I heard a statistic. I've tried to verify this. I don't know that I can prove it, but by my own experience, I believe that this is close to being accurate, but I heard a statistic that 80% of people who start into ministry fail after before 5 years. In other words, that most people who start into ministry, who feel a call of God on their life within the first 5 years, basically bail and quit because of the hardships and the problems that they run into. And then that same source said that of the 20% that continue in ministry beyond 5 years, that 80% of those are just struggling. They're near burnout. They are ready to quit. They're having thoughts of quitting. So what this means, if you take this whole thing and put it together, that means that only 4% of people who start in ministry are still enjoying it and productive and having their momentum is still going forward after 5 years. 4% of people. Now again, I don't know about every other profession and stuff. I do believe that a minister has a big old target drawn on their back and they may have more opposition, more demonic opposition. You know, it's like that the enemy always tries to target the people that are the generals and the lieutenants rather than just the grunts in the army, because if you can affect them, then you affect all of the people that are under them. So it may be that that's not the way it is for everybody, but I do believe that in whatever area that you are trying to follow God, that the people who find and then follow and then fulfill God's will are actually in the minority. You know, I heard Miles Monroe one time say that if you want to go to a place on the earth that has the most potential, then go to a graveyard. Because most people die and take their full potential with them to the grave. Very, very few people realize their full potential. And I don't, again, know that there's any way to prove that that's true because, you know, from on this side, we don't know exactly what God had planned for a person. But I believe that when we get on the other side and as we look back at our life, I don't think that very many people are going to look back and say, you know what, I did too much. I think that, man, I just tried too hard. I trusted God too much. But I think that there's going to be a huge amount of people that look back and say, I played it too safe. I did not go for what God told me to do. I spent my time occupied doing my own thing and not following God. And I think that there is going to be a tremendous amount of remorse when we get to heaven and see what God's plans for us were and how that we fell so far short of it. So anyway, as I begin on this last segment in my teaching on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will, this may be the most important part of the whole thing is about how to fulfill God's will. And notice this verse that I've already used here in Ecclesiastes 7:8. It says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." One of the things we're going to be dealing with is patience. And most people look at patience as kind of tolerance and things like that. But the word patience in the Bible is not a passive word. It is a very aggressive word. Basically, here's the way I say it, is that patience is nothing but faith, but it's faith over a prolonged period of time. It's maintaining your intensity of faith and that same momentum despite all of the obstacles and the delays and things like this. Patience isn't just sitting there goofing off and doing nothing and waiting on God to move, but patience is continuing to seek God and maintaining your enthusiasm and your faith over a prolonged period of time. It would be comparable to a person running a race. You know, there's these sprints where you just give it everything you've got for 50 yards or something versus a marathon that is 26.2 miles. It's a different type of race. And patience is running with patience the race that is set before you. It's maintaining that same enthusiasm. So anyway, this is really important, what I'm beginning to share with you about how to finish your race, how to end it properly. And I tell you, that is really important. Let me turn over here to Hebrews chapter 12. This is the writer of Hebrews speaking. We don't know for sure who it is. I think it was Paul. It's certainly consistent with his ministry. It says, "Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And it goes on to say in verse 2, the way you do that is by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Now again, there is so much in these verses that I could spend hours on this, but I just want to point out that it says you have to run with patience the race that is set before you, and the way you do that is by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You know, I learned this when I was a kid. We had a large yard that we had to mow when I was growing up, and when I got old enough, that was my job, was to mow. And you know, we had St. Augustine grass that looks really nice when you mow it, and so I would mow it in these patterns so that when people drove by on the street, you could see these straight rows. And I learned this, that if you were trying to cut the grass, the way that you did a straight row, you had to pick an object out in front of you and look at it and go straight for it. If you tried to do a straight row by looking down at the grass every single time, it would be crooked. But you had to pick an object out in front of you in order to do a straight row. I've heard people use the same illustration on plowing and things like this. And this is talking about that this is the way you run your race. You have to look at Jesus. You cannot just be occupied with all of the mundane things and the things that hit you every single day. If you do that, you aren't going to finish your course. You aren't going to run a straight course. You aren't going to win the race. You know, if a person is running a race, you can't just run all over the track like that. You'll wind up covering more distance than your opponents, and they're going to win the race because they ran straight. You have to look unto Jesus. You have to be looking in Him and not occupied with all of the other stuff that comes against you. You know, a lot of people think that because I'm a minister, I don't have to deal with stuff. I tell you what, we've got a large ministry. We've got 260 employees just here in Colorado. And if you include all of our other employees around the world, It's a big deal, and I get hit every single day with all kinds of decisions and things like this. And even though I deal with it, you know what? I can't ever get to where those things become my priority. I hire other people to do those things. I've got a friend of mine that said that he just decided he was going to hire a person to worry for him. And so he hired this guy to be nothing but a professional worrier. And the guy said, well, what are you going to pay me? And he says, that's your first worry. Amen. But you know what? You need to keep the main thing the main thing. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. And I do lots of things to be able to maintain my focus on the Lord and maintain my balance and equilibrium and keep in a straight line. It says that you have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. This is where the battle is right between your ears. It's not what happens out there. It's not the external things. Nothing external can defeat me. I know that that's a statement that many people would not agree with, and you think, oh, you don't understand. I've got this financial problem. I've got this relational problem. I've got this. And they look at these external things. But it's not all of these external things that defeat you. It's how you think about it. I was just listening to a teaching yesterday by Paul Milligan. He's one of my friends, and he teaches in our third year program. And anyway, he was talking about he was in this aerospace industry and had, over 1,000 employees. It was a big business. And then 9/11 happened. And the economy just fell through. I mean, the bottom fell out of the economy. And he was scrambling to make things work. Long story, but he came home and he had met with all of his people during the day. He came home and told his wife, Patsy, he said, we've tried for, I think it was 10 years at that time or something. And says, this economy has just destroyed us. We're going to have to quit. We're closing the door. We're selling the assets. And he just went on and he talked about all of this stuff. And you know, it was just in the natural, that it didn't look like he had any options. And he was telling his wife all this and she listened and she says, are you through? And he said, yes, I'm through. And he says, well, if you're telling me that God's word doesn't work and what he told us isn't going to work, then I've got nothing else to say to you. And she just turned around and walked out of the room. And anyway, a little bit later, he went into the bedroom. She was sound asleep. She wasn't even worried about it. She just refused to accept all of the stuff that he had been saying. He said he got so mad that here she was sleeping, and he stayed up all night long. He laid in bed all night long thinking about that. And God used this to change the way that he thought. Nothing in the natural had changed. Nothing. Everything was exactly the same. But in his mind, he began to recognize that he wasn't trusting God. He was letting circumstances and situations dictate to him, and he wasn't believing God. And by the time Patsy woke up in the morning, Paul said he couldn't wait to tell her that he repented for his attitude. He apologized to her. He went to work that day, called all of his leadership together, which he said he had infected them with the same unbelief and negativism that he had. And he got them to repent, and they started speaking that God started this business. God's going to make this business work. And anyway, they just started believing God. And if I'm not mistaken, that was like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And by Friday, he had General Dynamics contact him. It's a long story, but their business totally came out. Now he's got 12 corporations. He is a super prosperous man. And you know what? He was able to continue on and follow the Lord because the battle was in his mind. And this is what it says. You get weary and faint in your mind. I know that there are some of you facing situations today that you think, but I hadn't got any choice. You've always got a choice to believe. You can always believe God. I've had my back against the wall so many times. I remember a board meeting one time where my board showed me the stats, and on paper, we were broke. We were bankrupt. We owed more money than we had assets. There was no way that we could ever pay this debt. And it was when our ministry was real small. We had like a $50,000 indebtedness, and my income was $4,000 or $5,000 dollars per month, and there was just no way that we could meet it. And my board just basically said, you're through. We're shutting you down. We're closing this ministry. And you know what? I just said, well, I don't deny the facts. I'm not denying that they exist, but I said, I just deny that that's what's going to happen. I know God called me to do what I'm doing, and there's a way through this. And so here they were saying, you got to quit. And I was saying, I won't quit. And we were at an impasse. What do you do? We decided we'd just start praying. So we were all praying. And as we were praying, my mother called. She was the one that opened my mail at that time. And we had a church that I'd never been to before or since send us $60,000. And it totally paid off all of the indebtedness. And you know what? I mean, I've been in that situation where in the natural, you have to just run up a white flag and say, I quit. And I have found out that God can make a way where there is no way. Miracles are what happens. Everybody wants the testimony about crossing the Red Sea, but nobody wants all of the problems that led to that and the desperate situation that they were in. When most people get in a desperate situation, they just quit. They quit believing God. This says that you have to look unto Jesus because it's in your mind that you faint. If you are weary and feel like quitting, if you're just saying, I can't stand it, I have to quit and give up, it's not your circumstances that have made that. I can guarantee you can go to the Word of God and you can find a scripture and you can find instances where God has helped people overcome things every bit as bad as what you're going through or worse. There is no limitation with God except the limitations that we put upon Him through our own thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way that he is. If you are in a bad situation, I'm not saying that you've caused every problem that comes against you. We live in a fallen world and Satan will fight against you. So I'm saying that not every single thing that happens is all your fault. But if it's beating you, if it's overcoming you, you have fainted in your mind. It's the way you think that is causing you to be overcome by those situations. If you would think correctly, you can overcome. You can be healed of whatever has come against you. The world and everybody else, maybe all of your friends and relatives will say this is incurable and that there's nothing that can be done. But with God, all things are possible. It says He heals all of these sickness, all of these diseases. It was in the Deuteronomy 28, it was spoken as a curse. But Galatians chapter 3 says Christ redeemed us from the curse. So you can find that all sickness and all disease are covered under that. That His name is exalted above every name. If you can put a name on it, God can overcome it. See, there's a lot of people. Let's just take healing for an example. You may know that it's God's will for you to be well. And so you may start moving in that direction. And you may learn some of the things that the Word of God has to say about healing. And you may know that by His stripes we're healed, that you've got to use your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so you've found God's will. You've started to follow God's will. But now you come up against something that looks impossible. And what are you going to do? It's all the way that you think about it that determines whether you experience victory or whether you quit. Are you going to be overcome by these circumstances? Are you going to let them defeat and discourage you? See, this is exactly what the Lord was telling Joshua over in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was, of course, the person that followed Moses as the leader of all of the Jews. And in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord was getting ready to send him into the promised land. And He says, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, that's going to be given unto you. But then He said, be strong and of a good courage. This is in verse 6. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land that I swear unto their fathers. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is how you stay strong and keep from fainting in your mind. You've got to get to where the Word of God dominates and controls you more than what you see in the mirror, what you feel in your body, more than what other people have to say to you, more than what your board has to say to you. You have to get to where God's Word impacts you more than anybody else's word. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when you have observed the word of God, when you have kept it before your eyes, when you meditate in it day and night, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, if I had time, I'm just about out of time today, but you could go back and just underline and look at the times that the Lord said, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be dismayed. You know, the word dismay doesn't mean that you just totally reject the truth. It just means that you lose your enthusiasm about it, that you lose your excitement, you lose your motivation and your trust in it, and you are being more moved by external things than you are by what's in your heart. And the Lord just told Joshua over and over and over, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed, be strong in this situation, because it's in your mind that you're fainting. You know, I'm beginning to talk to you about how do you fulfill. There are some of you that have found God's will. You've started that direction. You are trying to follow God's will, but now you're up against some situation and many of you in your mind are fainting. You're weary. You're fainting. You're throwing in the towel. And I'm telling you, you will not see God's will come to pass with that kind of an attitude. You have to keep yourself encouraged. Wished I had time. Maybe on tomorrow's broadcast I'll start with this. But over in 1 Samuel chapter 31, it talks about David was in a situation where his men were going to stone him to death. He had lost his wives and children. He had lost all of his physical assets. He had had nothing but 13 years of trouble. And yet his men were going to stone him to death. And it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If you don't get to where you encourage yourself, if you just let circumstances dictate to you, you will not fulfill God's will. You're going to have to be strong and of a good courage. You need to realize that the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. It's wonderful to find God's will and move in that direction, but really it's only after you finish your course with joy that you are going to really realize all of the benefits. You need to keep yourself encouraged. And this is what I'm trying to do, is to share with you about how you can fulfill God's will for your life. Let me once again just make the point that we've got a brand new book out on this entitled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will. That's what I'm talking about now, is how to fulfill God's will. I've got individual CDs and DVDs on each one of these three parts of this teaching. I've also got these study guides that cover, you know, each one of these. This one is on how to fulfill God's will. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about all of this. We've put together a package that puts together all of this stuff. If you want to get everything that I have on it, it would really be a blessing to you. So listen to our announcer and please call or write and receive these materials today. And then join me again tomorrow. We're going to continue this teaching on how you can fulfill God's will. Finish your course with joy.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available in three separate companion study guides: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. They're perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only are the entire teachings included in the study guides, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CDs. Each of these valuable resources is available for a gift of $20 or more when you contact us. Or you can get the new book and all three study guides as part of the God's Will package. In addition to the book and study guides, this package includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. you can get these three albums in your choice of either CD or DVD, both recorded live at Gospel Truth Seminars. As a bonus, you'll also receive the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. This entire package has a catalog value of $195, but today you can get it for a gift of just $145 or more. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today's audio teaching is titled Learn to Obey. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of May, he'll be in Telford, England, and in Mumbai and Goa, India. In June, he'll be ministering for the first time in Chennai, India, and he'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the Association of Related Ministries International Conference. In July, he'll be in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, in College Park, Georgia, Toronto, Ontario, Flushing, New York, and in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And in August, he'll be in Chicago, Illinois. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Alan and Debbie Moore. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.